From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Detroit's own famed jazz violinist Regina Carter wanted to get closer to the life of her grandfather, an Alabama coal miner born in Georgia in 1893. So she explored his life the best way she knows how, through the music of his day, going back to the Library of Congress field recordings from the South, making them her own, from African American spiritual to Hank Williams to Cornbread Crumbled in Gravy. It's all on her new album, Southern Comfort. This hour on Point, Regina Carter takes us all down home. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Do you see, hear, the appeal to inhabit a grandparent's time through music? Have you explored your own musical heritage? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now in the studio is Regina Carter, celebrated violinist, grew up in Detroit. You've heard her behind Mary J. Blige, Ken Burns, in the worlds of Paganini, Motown, improvisational jazz. She won a MacArthur Genius Grant in 2006. Her new album is Southern Comfort. Regina Carter, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
And you brought your violin along. That's just wonderful. Thank you. I'm so jealous of being able to. This is a kind of, audio time travel. You got interested in lots of aspects of your family's past. You've done, an album that looked at kind of the American songbook of your mother's era.
Right.
One where you went way back, African roots.
Yes.
African music interpreted your way. And this time, your granddad, tell us what you know about him.
He was born in 1893, Dan John Carter. He was a coal miner, and he married my mother, Kate. They had 14 children. My father was the oldest, two sets of twins. My father was a twin.
Your grandmother, Kate?
Yes.
Yes, good, yeah.
And so 14 mm-hmm. children.
14?
Yeah, and
Your dad was the eldest of those, I think.
Yeah, and he was a twin, and there were two sets of twins.
Wow.
And I was able to go back to the house. I never met my grandfather, but I was able to go back to the house and spend the summers with my grandmother and just to see how my uncles and aunts grew up.
Where was it exactly? Was it still in Alabama?
Yes.
When you were going back as a kid?
Yes. Well, my grandfather grew up in Bradford, Alabama, which doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
But my father was in Birmingham. Just a couple of rooms, no bathroom. You had to go to the outhouse. Yep. You got bathed in a tin pail out front. Pretty different than growing up in Detroit.
I should say. And from that, you decided, well, let's go back and do what by taking this musical journey?
Well, when I was researching my grandparents and my grandfather specifically, finding information on Ancestry.com and linking my tree up with other family members' trees, some who I know and some who I was just meeting through Ancestry.com, mm-hmm. I was just interested, what was the music like? What was relevant during his time? And music always helps me to have a better understanding, since I don't have the opportunity to speak with him. But the music and the history and politically seeing what was going on, all of that through the music helps me to have my own understanding.
Makes it real. You went to the Library of Congress. You listened to a bunch of Alan Lomax tapes and more there.
Yes.
Picked out some that you thought might represent something of that of your grandfather's. Did you say Dan John?
Dan John Carter.
What a wonderful name! Wow, he should be an artist right now. We've got one track here, Miner's Child. Tell us how you picked it and how it got arranged.
Most of this music, when I was listening, I just had way more material than I needed for the record, but. Anything that just struck me immediately. And this tune, something about it, it just struck me. And I thought it was appropriate, Miner's Child.
Coal miner, Miner's Child.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for each arranger, all of the arrangers on the record are friends of mine. And I would send them several tunes. But this specific tune, when I asked Marvin Sewell, the guitarist, mm-hmm. if he would be interested in recording with me on this record, and I told him what the premise was, he said, oh, my people are from Alabama as well. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. So I thought this was the perfect tune for Marvin to arrange, and I love his arrangement.
A lot of those old Alan Lomax tapes are just a single voice singing.
Exactly.
Was that the case here with Miner's
Yes.
Child?
Yes.
So you bring a lot to it when you arrange, bring instrumentation, imagine the whole surround of that central melodic theme there.
Right, right.
Let's listen to a little bit of This is Miner's Child from new album of Regina Carter called Southern Comfort. Miner's Child, and you can hear Regina Carter hard at work there right in the middle of it. What an arrangement. It's almost got that kind of Silk Road sound, that horseback tempo to it. I remember Yo-Yo Ma did an album out that way sometime, right. But maybe this is the rhythm of the miner's work. There's a lot of banging that goes on down in the mine, a lot of swinging of pick and hammer.
Yeah, there's a rhythm specifically so that they can, they're all in rhythm with one another. Mm-hmm. They're singing, and it helps to keep them from being bored. And a lot of times they're telling stories or they're sending messages out, but it helps to keep everyone in rhythm when they sing these songs.
So this is quite a rhythm. Working at this pace, you put some coal out. I've worked with a lot of miners in my time. I don't know if they could quite keep up with that. You know, I was reading, anticipating our conversation, and just in your grandfather's generational time, you know, there have been books written about how many miners were almost enslaved or re-enslaved in the mines, either through the legal system or other ways. They ended up being almost trapped down there. Do you know anything of the circumstances of his relationship with that mine, coal mining employment?
Not so much that his relationship, but I know I was told that he would be gone for long periods of time. So working and when he would come, so it was pretty much my grandmother and some of the older siblings helping to raise. He'd just maybe be gone for months at a time and then come back. So it was I imagine it was pretty difficult.
Regina Carter's album is Southern Comfort. It wasn't always comfortable. Callers for you. Here's one from Detroit. Elizabeth in Detroit, you're on the air with Regina Carter.
Hi, Tom. It's nice to talk to you. I just wanted to mention that the Smithsonian Archives online have a really valuable resource for if people want, like, old-time, like, Appalachian bluegrass. There are a lot of ripped 45 RPM recordings that are really hard to find, like, in MP3 format. So if people wanted to access that's, like, an invaluable resource.
If you want to reenact a little bit of Regina Carter's journey, do it right there online. Elizabeth, thanks for calling from Detroit. How did you do? Did you sit down in the bowels of the Library of Congress, or how's it work?
Some of the information or the recordings I did get from online, and I ordered things online, but I had some people helping me because it was such a huge project. But I'd go down, I'd send someone down and tell them what I was looking for, and you have to spend hours down there because there's so much material on reel-to-reel tapes. Mm-hmm. And they, ahead of time, you have to let them know what it is you're looking for because they have to pull those tapes, and you can get copies made, and then there's news articles, there's records to go through. So I had to have a lot of help with this process, and I spent about a year with the research, but a lot of it I did do online as well.
You brought up a spiritual sound out of that. You've got, you take it all the way to Hank Williams. I don't know if you picture your granddad sitting listening to Hank Williams, but maybe, why not? It was all on the radio back in the day.
Right. Well, some of the music, this is a process that included the band as well. And mm-hmm. so when they knew what this project was about, they also submitted tunes that they thought would be appropriate for the record. And I just love the Hank Williams tune. And I love Gram Parsons as well, and I figure, okay, it's music from
Hickory
my grand.
Hickory Wind you brought
right.
out
right, yeah, mm-hmm. It's a beautiful tune.
It is, even though it's not an old tune.
Nope.
Maybe the spirit of that time, the sound of that feel, the feel of that time.
And also including my feelings of being mm-hmm. in the South with my grandmother. So it's kind of from my grandfather's time up and through what I'm experiencing now.
What do you think? Do you discover your grandfather in this, or do you make a version musically of your grandfather as you'd like to, you know, hear him somehow?
I think I have to create who I want him to be, because it's difficult to get any much personal information about who he was. And unfortunately, a lot of times in families, things happened and they don't want to talk about it. And a lot of material was burned, I found out, information. And so I just had to kind of create who I thought he was based on the music and the history that I was finding.
Who came north? Who came to Detroit? Was that your father?
My father.
When he was
did.
A young man?
Yes. Yes. He moved
up for the factory jobs,
yes,
or the
big motor
magnet.
Company.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And he married my mom, who was a Detroit native.
Yeah.
And then they, once they got established, they sent for the next sibling, mm-hmm, and got them established, mm-hmm, at Ford or another, mm-hmm, car company. So it was the great migration from the South up to Detroit.
And that's the way it works. Worked, anyway. Regina Carter turns it around, takes us back. She's gone back before to the music of her mother's time, all the way back to Africa. This time, the sound of the years, well, right up here to Hank Williams and Honky Tonkin', but of her grandfather's day. Her album is Southern Comfort. She's with us with her violin in the studio. We're going to hear that. Listeners, you can join us. Do you know, resonate with these songs? Do you understand the impulse to feel, get inside the music of your grandparents? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook with Regina Carter. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with jazz violinist Regina Carter. She's taking it all down home to the music of her granddad's day in her new album, Southern Comfort. We're looking back further than that even here. She did an album taking, following music all the way back to African roots. Reverse Thread came out in 2010. This is Haiwumbe Awumba from that album. We'll hear some of that earlier music and get right into Southern Comfort. Regina Carter is with me in the studio this hour. Her violin is here, and we are going to get her on it soon. You can join us. Do you get the urge to, what, musical genealogy? If you were this fine with the fiddle, the violin, would you take that path? Where would you go with it? Do you know Regina Carter's excursions into jazz, Africa, Paganini, Motown? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Regina, callers for you. Larry in Middleborough, Massachusetts. Larry, you're on the air with Regina Carter.
Yes, Miss Carter. I have several of your albums. I will be at your concert tonight, and I'm looking very much forward to seeing you at Sanders.
Thank you.
My question is, I know you come from a musical family, and how did you get into working with the violin, picking up the violin, and the metamorphosis that you've gone through to where you are now, particularly the early years? And I'll take the response off.
We got it, Larry. Regina's right on it. Regina.
Yes. I started violin when I was 4 years old. When I was two, my brother's piano teacher tested me and saw that I had a gift for hearing music. So I studied Suzuki violin at the age of four, which teaches us to play by ear the same way we learn a language at home, by imitating. And I just fell in love with the instrument, fell in love with music, and from there studied all the way through college, and in high school was turned on to jazz by way of three jazz violinists, Jean-Luc Ponty, Stephan Grappelli, and Noel Pointer, and was taken by the fact that I could have my own voice in jazz and to improvise. And from there, just listening to music from all around the world, and especially growing up in Detroit, because there were so many different cultures there because of the automotive industry and Motown, I was exposed to a lot of different music from all over the world at a very young age, and I love exploring all these different musics. To me, there's no boundaries. It's just music.
You became known as a great improviser. You backed up lots of big musicians in your time. Aretha Franklin, Lauryn Hill, Mary J. Blige, you mentioned Billy Joel, Dolly Parton, Max Roach, Oliver Lake, little time in Boston at the New England Conservatory, I think, and then back on your own. The Genius Grant came in part because the people acknowledged this wide swath you were going through. All the way back to Africa, what gave you the impulse to look back to roots, to begin this kind of historical exploration?
I've always been curious since childhood. From where do I come? It's got to be more than just my parents, more than Detroit. And so with the MacArthur Grant, I was able to take time to do the research. And through Ancestry.com, I did the DNA genealogy test. And it came back.
It says your line comes from here. Yes. And here and here. What'd you find?
73% West African, 13% Finnish.
Okay.
And the last percentage just kind of sprinkled
like
over.
Like us all. Yeah. Here and there and there and there. Wow.
And,
okay.
So that was pretty interesting. So from there, I just decided, let me check out music from these different areas and see. You know, just that's how I make my connection to everything, through learning. I learn through my music.
What a great thing to get to do. You've carried Detroit in there as well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
An album that was a Motor City Moments came out in 2000. Just to give the background a little of that sound, this is Higher Ground. Of course, this is Regina Carter with the famous 1973 Stevie Wonder song, but reimagined right here by Regina Carter. Detroit take, maybe, on Stevie Wonder right there. Maybe the sound of, I don't know, is that an assembly line in the background? A lot of tip-tap-tap-tapping going on. In her latest album, Southern Comfort, she takes it deeper. She takes it to the coal mines of Alabama and her grandfather's time. Joe in Cookeville, Tennessee. Joe, you're on the air with Regina Carter.
Yes, Miss Carter, I'm not familiar with your work, but I think I like it. Stephen Grappelli probably would have liked it, too.
Well,
yes,
thank
amen.
You very much.
My father-in-law, now deceased, grew up in the coal camps in southern portion of Kentucky and on the Tennessee border. In the days when the miners were owned by the company store, Tennessee Ernie was telling the truth when he said they owed their sold the company store. They were paid by the ton of coal, and in lieu of a scale, the miners would go in the morning because the company tripped a nut. They hung a large machine nut on a string, and your loaded coal, which you loaded by hand, had to make that nut swing. As soon as the miners went in, the company would come in and slip a two-by-four, which would knock the top off of your load of coal. You would not trip the nut, and you would be penalized some arbitrary manner. You would notice your paycheck would start to diminish, so the miners would get together and cover for one of their compatriots, and he would go out and watch to see that the two-by-four was removed, and then they would walk out on a work protest. And
rough business, Joe, a rough work environment.
Okay.
Thank you for that information. Yeah, wow.
It could be just as rough hewn as it got there, even if it wasn't exactly servitude, as Joe says. It could be as much as by the time the company store got finished with somebody's take. And white miners, black miners, maybe different circumstances, but the dynamic very, very similar there. Shoe Rye is one of the songs that you most enjoyed out of this, Irene. We've got a little bit of the field recording. Perhaps this is what you just heard. It's a traditional children's song from Appalachia. Let's hear what Regina Carter perhaps first heard in the Library of Congress.
All my run, shoe rye, my lover, shoe rye. Get your partner, shoe rye. Now you got a shoe rye. Back to back, shoe rye. side to side, Shura, face to face, Shura, now hug your lover, Shura, all my round, Shura, Shura, my lover, Shura, get your partner, Shura, now you got a Shura, back to back, Shura, side to side, Shura, face to face, Shura, now hug your lover, Shura.
Wow. I mean, I'm in love with that right there. I would want to take off on that if I had your talent with the violin.
Yeah, there was just something very raw and beautiful about it.
Is that Lomax or one of the other recorders?
I believe that is Lomax, but I'm not sure.
And you've got your version.
Yes.
Let's hear it. This is it's a hop-in version. We're going to have you stand up, bring your violin to it. And we have in the studio Regina Carter, live, violin on the shoulder, bow at the ready, with her take on the music of her grandfather's time, this take on Shurai. Shurai, a little bit of Shurai right there from the wonderful Regina Carter. Wow, what a great sound. You have me breathless here with your bow coming within about half an inch of our microphone hanging up there above you. But that's just great. The violin back on the table. I want to ask, how do you make the one bit there that sounds almost like a bagpipe drone? It's got right. that chord. What are you doing on the with the frets there?
And that's exactly what it's imitating. But we do double stops and just kind of dig in and swoop up to it, so it has that bagpipe sound. Because in that area, a lot of the Appalachians, you have the Scots, the Irish, Native Americans, African Americans, just so many people that
maybe
are in
some
that
Finnish
area.
In there too.
That's right. You never know. And so all of those sounds, that's part of this music, which makes it so beautiful and so special.
And you brought that kind of Scottishy sound to it, even though the recording we heard was more plaintive. You can kind of imagine the surround there.
Right, exactly. And with the arranger of this tune, Lawrence Hobgood, his mother actually grew up in the Appalachia area. And so he has grown up hearing a lot of that music. She has books of that music. And so that was his influence and his take when he arranged this piece, Shurai.
I just love it. Shurai off of Southern Comfort. Elizabeth in Newport News, Virginia, you're on the air with Regina Carter.
Hi, Tom. Ms. Carter, I wanted to ask you if you're grandfather ever buck danced, or if you remember anybody talked about him doing a dance called a buck dance. But my great grandmothers, both who were from Clanton, Alabama, used to do after a couple shots of bourbon.
what did it look like, Elizabeth? Can you describe your grandmother's buck dance?
They were.
I'm a little afraid to hear, but let's hear.
It's a Scottish jig, but it's got this rest in the footwork. It's a weird Scottish jig with a rest in the footwork. That's all I can say. And it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I didn't hear any information of my grandfather doing that, but I know what buck dancing is. And there are a lot of different dances from a lot of different cultures. But it's a pretty, I love the dance. In fact, I just love a lot of the the dances and the chants and the music and the rhythms that come from all of that. Did you see your grandmother's doing
it? I did. When I was a little girl, it was awesome.
What a gift.
Lucky you. You don't have to imagine it. You actually saw it from your grandmother's there. That's terrific. Elizabeth, thanks so much for your call. We're talking with Regina Carter. Her new album is Southern Comfort. I wonder how much you found or imagine racial lines crossing around music and dancing and everything else here. I mean, sometimes we think of certain things with a definitely an African-American root, but then things get interwoven and meshed a lot in this country, in the South in particular, as well.
Right. Well, when I was doing my research, not only for Southern Comfort, but Reverse Thread and music from my mother's generation growing up in Detroit, you hear so many influences in all of the different cultures of music because cultures were migrating, people were migrating for jobs or what have you. Mm-hmm. And so you can't help but those musics having an influence on one another. And so I always say that we're all related or connected in one way or another. And you really hear it in music, you see it in art. And we're connected whether we want to be or not, we are.
Sometimes in beautiful ways, sometimes difficult ways.
Exactly.
Matt in Northfield, Massachusetts. Matt, you're on the air with Regina Carter.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Ms. Carter. I was kind of intrigued when you were talking about looking into, your grandfather's music or what they were listening to. I was recently speaking with my grandfather and just about that exact subject. And he was talking about how when he was in college at the University in Vermont in, the mid-1950s, the big thing was their winter carnival, and they would listen to this, like, Dixieland-style music while guys would have a dance competition called cakewalking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I can't imagine my grandfather ever dancing, much let alone, competing in a dance competition. But it was kind of, for me, it was just kind of... amazing to think that was the cool thing to do, to listen to, at the University of Vermont in 1955, to listen to Dixieland music.
But Matt, I see a note here saying that your grandfather and his peeps there would do that in blackface. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. The competitions were done in, the dance routines were done, and the participants would perform in blackface.
Matt, I appreciate your call. I mean, things get complicated. On the one hand, it is irresistible music.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other, it's still in the 1950s, we're doing this in blackface, and you've got the complication of American life right there.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing, even in researching some of the music that I've found, some of the vinyl, was just so incredibly racist and ugly. But,
Would those be black singers or white singers?
White singers
doing blackface?
Yeah, and the lyrics to it, it was really painful. But we have an ugly history in this country, and we have to, not stick our heads in the sand about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But out of some of that ugliness has come some amazing art and music. So that I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. So, but I wonder how wary were you going in here, or did you become wary as you heard some of those harsh and or straight up racist lyrics?
I didn't. I wasn't expecting some of the things that I heard, so it was a shock to hear some of this and to see that it was actually recorded. Someone could actually play these, and they were released. So I was pretty shocked, but I told myself I'm not going to shut down and ignore that, because that I think that's where the problem is when we ignore it. I have to face it and say, this really happened. How can we move beyond this?
And if you really want to get closer to your grandfather's reality,
right?
Born in 1893, you can be darn sure he knew all about that side of life. Couldn't help but knowing it.
Exactly.
Regina Carter's latest album is Southern Comfort. She's gone back to the music, by and large, of her grandfather's era, arranged and brought to life on her violin and more. Behind us right here, Cornbread Crumbled in Gravy, another cut from Southern Comfort, reimagining Southern folk songs of her grandfather's generation on her violin. You can join us. What do you think? What do you think of the effort, the musical genealogy, the journey Regina Carter's taking? We're at 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with jazz violinist Regina Carter, and you can hear her right there from 1997, her album Something for Grace. That was Hide and Seek, Baji Baji there. That was Regina Carter in the 90s. Joanna MacArthur, genius Grant, in the next decade, and with that has gone on a musical exploration of her family's genealogy, very much a musical exploration, all the way back to Africa, back to the American songbook of her mother's era, and in her latest album, Southern Comfort, all the way back to the time of her Alabama coal miner grandfather, Dan John Carter. And it is quite a sound. A taste of what she did then, behind us right here. We've heard a lot of what she's doing now. Do you know Regina Carter's excursions into jazz, Africa, Paganini, Motown? Does Southern Comfort make you want to explore your family tree? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. She's with me in the studio. Her violin's still here as well. We may coax her back onto it as well. Jackie in Richmond, Virginia. Jackie, thank you for calling. You're on the air with Regina Carter.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Ms. Carter. I just wanted to call because I can totally relate to your project and goals. I'm actually from Michigan, and my grandparents immigrated up to the north for the car industry as well. My grandpa's from Huntsville, and my grandma's from Dixon, Tennessee. And I absolutely relate to that. My grandma passed away, unfortunately, but to my grandpa through Hank Williams Sr., kind of that old honky-tonk music, Johnny Cash, old school country. And I actually connect it to him also through Hank Williams Sr.'s son, Hank III, who kind of does some, you know, rebel country music. And I don't know if you heard of him or had any thoughts on that.
I have not heard his music, so thanks for turning me on to that. I'm going to check him out.
But you brought Honky Tonk in right onto this album, and I was curious about that because, you know, that's a Hank Williams country. It's a little different than a lot of the other Lomax-era music here.
Right. Well, the I figured this record would start with my grandfather and kind of journey up through to me, to the present day, more modern. So I take Honky Tonk and Hickory Wind as the two modern pieces, if you will, on the record. And it's just a tune that I really loved, and I felt like it fit with the whole journey and the connection of me to my grandfather.
When you perform these days, is it all Southern Comfort right now, or do you bring out the improvisation, the jazz background as well, Regina?
It's a little mixture of everything. Most of the concert is Southern Comfort, and I play some of the field recordings so people have a perspective of where the tunes have come from. But then I throw in some tunes from Paganini After Dreams, some from I'll Be Seeing You, some tunes we haven't recorded yet. My drummer wrote a tune, New for New Orleans, after Katrina. He wrote this tune, and so it's more of a New Orleans feel, second line tune.
When did you know that you weren't going to go the classical path with the violin, that you were going to be more heterodox all over?
Probably in high school, when my best friend, who's a phenomenal jazz vocalist, Carla Cook, brought in three records for me to hear, because she'd come to school always talking about Eddie Jefferson and Miles Davis, and I hadn't heard these people before. And so when I heard the three violinists playing jazz improvising, then I said, that's what I want to do. So, and I started transcribing records then, and in college, my first year, my mother's plan was for me to get a job in someone's symphony orchestra so I could have some health insurance and benefits.
But you had Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli whispering at you.
Yeah, and I just one day switched my major completely without telling her, and I feel like this music, it was my calling.
Well, we're glad you found it. Joe in Atlanta, Georgia. Joe, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Tom, I have an interesting cross-generational, cross-cultural musical incident. I was attending a Greek wedding at my brother-in-law getting married to a Greek family, into a Greek family.
Awesome.
And there was there was a group of older ladies seated around the table, including the grandmother of the bride, who had never even learned English.
Yeah.
And they sat there through all of the dance songs of the contemporary music that was going on. But this band knew the traditions and the cultures, and all of a sudden struck up an old Greek tune with a boom chicka boom chick rhythms. And it was fascinating because these ladies who hadn't moved all simultaneously jumped up, locked arms in a circle, and began this most gorgeous dance, and we just could not believe it.
That's beautiful.
That's just great. Joe, thank you for sharing that from Atlanta. I mean, the way that music gets us in the bones, in the blood, if you want to understand a people, or and maybe in your case a time,
right?
You almost can't do it without including that aspect.
Exactly, because you hear what was going on, politics, social agendas, everything mm-hmm. that's going on is in the music. You can hear. It's almost like the music provides your eyes mm-hmm. into what was really going on.
Pop it into color.
Right, yeah.
There's a just tremendous piece, I'm Going Home, that I just love on this album. And I want to listen first to the spiritual. This is recorded by John and Ruby Lomax, part of their 1939 Southern States recording trip. It's at the Library of Congress. This is from those field recordings, and then we'll hear Regina Carter.
I'm going home on the morning train. Well, I'm going up on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. If it don't see me, you will hear me say, all of my sins been taken away.
Sound of people who had borne a lot, had to bear a lot, but also what found room for dreams and grace. It's a beautiful, beautiful combination. How did you think about what you hoped to do with this when you took it into your hands?
This piece was so incredibly beautiful, the field recording, mm-hmm. that I actually cried when I heard mm-hmm. it. And there's another connection for me also, because my husband's family lives in the rural South. They live in rural Virginia. Mm-hmm. And there are no sidewalks. We walk up the road to go to church, a little wooden floor. And sometimes the men's choir will sing this song without any accompaniment. And it just, when I heard this, it took me right back there. It just says family. So I asked a friend of mine, Adam Rogers, another wonderful guitarist, to arrange this piece. And I remember he was working on it. He called me. I was in Canada and played what he had come up with so far, and it was just incredibly beautiful. And I said, that's it.
My favorite track on this album. I mean, if you're in need of a little balm, if you know a little bit of heartbreak, and who doesn't?
Yes.
And I do just now, that this will help you. I'm Going Home from Regina Carter's Southern Comfort. Regina Carter's interpretation of the old Lomax field recording, I'm Going Home on the Morning Train, or I'm Going Home from Southern Comfort. The field recording made you cry, and I'm not too proud to say, when I came on this track and drive, I was out and driving, and it's, you know, we've all got our reasons, and this one made yours version made me cry a little bit. Well, it's really beautiful.
That's cleansing of the soul. Thank you.
Really beautiful. We must go there sometime. Mm-hmm. Life makes us go there sometimes, and when we do, there's a song to ride through some of that. Justin in New Orleans, you're on with Regina Carter.
How you doing, Tom? How you doing, Miss Carter?
How are you?
I'm good. Oh, I just wanted to thank you for your music. I have a lot of family from Appalachia. All my grandparents were from Ohio. Three or four of them from Southern Ohio. And my grandmother would tell me about stories. She grew up in a small town called Gloucester, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
My nana, she told me stories about the coal miners, and some of them would just walk out of the coal mine and actually collapse dead from a disease they got called black lung.
Right.
But it's really great. What you're doing is awesome, because it really, that's what a lot of my grandparents were listening to. And so I want to thank you for what you've done, the research that you've done there.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Justin, thanks very much for your call from New Orleans. We're with Regina Carter, her new album, looking back on the musical era of her grandfather, Dan John Carter, is called Southern Comfort. Regina, you're the great improviser. I don't know if are you so moved? Do you want to kind of roll with the moment here a little bit on your fine violin? That would be great. Paint a picture for you here. The violin comes back out of the case. The splendid Miss Carter steps to the high microphone, and there's no score for this. This is where the spirit moves her. Live and fresh from the fingers of Regina Carter, maybe a little Amazing Grace crosses the wide Missouri there, and something of just this moment in the studio there as well. It's great to improvise and to do it off of a kind of platform of tradition there at the same time. That's just wonderful. So many callers for you. Let's see if we can get a couple more. John in Nashville, Tennessee. John, you are on the air with Regina Carter. Hi, John.
How
you're
you doing,
on.
Buddy?
Oh, I'm doing so well right now.
Yes, I bet. I just turned the show on, and yes, I am in Nashville, and yes, I am a musician, but I'm not a musician from Nashville. I'm a musician from Memphis.
Okay.
And that's like a different world.
Different thing entirely. All right.
But I've been here for a year, and quite frankly, I've been inundated with country, so-called country music, and I just kind of, I'm so tired of it, I kind of try to stay away from it. But what Miss Carter is doing is incredible. And I just had to call in and tell her I love it.
Wow,
and,
thank you. That's a huge compliment.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go try and find it.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thumbs up from Memphis.
Yeah.
John, keep it alive. Keep it alive right there in Nashville. Thank you very much for your call. So here you are. You're a few years after that MacArthur Grant now. You've traveled all over in history, you know, from mom to granddad, Africa. Do you know your next project, your next focus?
I have. You know, I'm like a kid in the candy shop when it comes to music. I love all kinds of music. And I start with one idea and seem to end up making a left turn without putting the blinker on. But I think maybe I might concentrate on the Finnish side.
from the DNA test that shows 13% Finnish, and maybe you're going to go a little Scandinavian up there.
There's some beautiful music that comes out of those areas.
I love it. I mean, yeah. I'll be down with that. Now, my folks are from next door in Sweden, a bunch of them. There's a little rivalry there. But if you must go Finnish, that's fine, too. That's fine, too.
Maybe
and
I'll include
listen.
A little bit.
No, I'll listen. We're going to go out with one more tune here, I Moaned and I Moaned. What can you tell us about it?
This is another hymn. And the hymns are so powerful that come out of this time period. It seems like they just really grab a hold of your soul. And there's a young man, guitarist, vocalist named Lucas Madrazo. And I wanted to have him arrange this piece. I had heard a record of his, Inland Traveler, and I thought he would do a great job with this piece, and he came back with something that totally I didn't expect at all. But it's so much fun to play, and when he's around, he sits in and sings with us, and just a great arrangement.
With Regina Carter's violin right in the middle of it, I Moaned and I Moaned from her album Southern Comfort. Regina, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in, bringing your violin with you, bringing your family history with you. What a lucky grandfather your Dan John Carter is to have a granddaughter who can remember him in such a way. Beautiful thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Really a
thank
pleasure.
You.
Listeners, thank you so much for being with us. We've got with I Moaned and I Moaned. Get you clapping a little bit right here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.